Round the World with Nellie Bly Game, 1890. Read for you by Lauren Elkin. A couple of years ago, in my book Flaneuse, I posited how abstruse it is that strolling, wandering around, traveling, exploring the world with open eyes, has always been defined as a male prerogative, as if a penis were a requisite walking appendage, like a cane. And indeed, for a long time, those women who wanted to set out and explore the world were well advised to behave as though they did have one, a penis, that is. Jeanne Barret, for example, who boarded the French Imperial Navy ship La Boudeuse in November 1766, as part of an expedition led by Louis-Antoine de Bougainville, thereby becoming the first woman in history to circumnavigate the world, spent 2 years as Jean. She bound her breasts and wore wide-legged trousers, and if ever one of the 100-odd men on board wondered why Jean never wanted to pee in front of them, he'd explain that he was just pretty prudish. In the end, Jeanne was found out, and Bougainville, who became famous and much admired thanks to this expedition, even having a flowering shrub, Bougainvillea, named after him, wrote the following wonderfully incorrect lines about her. She will be the only one of her sex to do this. Her example will hardly be contagious. We could make a list of all the great lady travelers who have explored the world since the 19th century. From Isabella Bird to Mary Kingsley, Isabel Eberhardt, Gertrude Bell, and Alexandre David Néel, to the queen of female travel writers, Anne-Marie Schwarzenbach. But that's not what we're after. This is an example that has nothing to do with either strolling or scientific research, maybe not even with serious travel writing, but which was so famous at the time, followed with such great enthusiasm thanks to the encouragement of the mass media, that it inspired countless Western women to pack their bags and strike out on their own. Perhaps the best proof of the success enjoyed by this particular adventure, on which American journalist Nellie Bly embarked on November 14, 1889, setting out from New Jersey with the aim of circumnavigating the globe in 75 days, is the board game created in her honor. It was manufactured in 1890, shortly after Nellie returned home. She arrived in New Jersey on January 25, 1890, to be met by an excitable crowd. Even on the way from San Francisco to New York, as she wrote in Around the World in 72 Days, her train had been accompanied by scores of people. Cries went up, "Nellie Bly's train! Did you ride on an elephant, Nellie? Come out here and we'll elect you governor. Nellie Bly, you must touch my hand. Now you will be successful. I have in my hand the left hind foot of a rabbit," and other such ridiculous things. This woman and her trip were an absolute sensation. People talked about her, wrote about her, bet on her success, and finally created a whole board game around her so that people could simulate her adventure at home. Round the World with Nellie Bly is the title on the box, and inside the game is laid out as a race, Nellie against Jules Verne, the legendary novelist. He, or more precisely, his novel, had given the young woman the idea in the first place. Bly had already made a name for herself as an investigative journalist for the New York World, when in 1887 she'd had herself committed to a New York women's psychiatry ward for 10 days, exposing the inhumane living conditions to which its patients were subjected in a report entitled 10 Days in a Madhouse. After that, she had felt in need of a holiday and came across Jules Verne and his recently published international bestseller, Around the World in 80 Days. Her boss was against it at first. Having yourself locked up in an asylum without ever knowing whether you'd make it out again was okay for a woman. But traveling around the world? No, that was men's business. Eventually, though, she did manage to persuade him. And a short while later, she was off. Looking at this game, one thing that stands out immediately is her clothing. Unlike Jeanne Barret, who had to dress as a man to explore the world, Bly embarked on her adventure as a lady. She wore a long dress she'd had specially made for her trip, along with a hat and a small handbag. a get-up in which she vaguely resembled a female Sherlock Holmes. Her mission? To outdo Jules Verne's fantasy in reality. Indeed, the author's home was one of the very first stops she made. The Verne picked Nellie up from the station in the morning, and by afternoon they were standing in front of a large map discussing her route. From Calais to Brindisi, Port Said, Ismailia, Aden, Colombo, Penang, Singapore, Hong Kong, Yokohama, San Francisco, and back to New York. Verne used a pencil to mark the points at which Bly would be departing from the route taken by his fictional protagonist, Phileas Fogg, then raised a glass to her strange undertaking and waved her off with a "Good luck, Nellie Bly." He didn't believe she would really do it, she wrote later in her book. But in fact, she completed her circumnavigation of the globe even faster than expected, in just 72 days. The accounts she wrote of her adventure aren't especially brilliant. Bly was a great investigative journalist, but no travel writer. She lacked empathy, perhaps even simple interest. She didn't want to dive into other cultures, was simply passing through. Nonetheless, the image captured on this board is unique, that of a woman who raced clean across the British Empire in 1890 to prove something to Jules Verne and the entire world. And contrary to what Bougainville had prophesied in the 18th century, the people of the 19th understood one thing perfectly well. This game, and Bly's adventurous spirit, most certainly would be contagious to other women.